I invite you to take your Bible and find John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This morning we continue our Why Do We series. We're looking at the question of why do we believe that there is only one way to heaven? Why do we believe there's only one way to heaven? Now, no doubt you have heard people say that there are many ways to heaven. You maybe even have heard people say that all roads lead to heaven. In April 2014 article in the Washington Times, Michael Bloomberg, who's a former mayor of New York City, was interviewed, and in that article it said this. Said, but if Mayor Bloomberg senses that he may not have as much time left as he would like, he has little doubt about what would await him on Judgment Day. Pointing to his work on gun safety, obesity, and smoking cessation, he said with a grin, I'm telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close. Here's another example. Warren Buffett, back in 2006, after he donated about $37 billion worth of stock to the Gates Foundation, he said, there's more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way. Well, I hate to break it to Mr. Bloomberg and Mr. Buffett, but if that's where they're resting their hope, they're in trouble. Sadly, though, the idea that there are more than one way to get to heaven has also infiltrated the church. The so-called Christian church contains a number of people who prominently proclaim that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Let me give you just two fairly recent examples. Early last year, Michael Walren Jr., who is the pastor of First Corinthian Baptist Church in New York City, said there was a time when you would see people in the pulpit say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. That's insanity in many ways, because that's not what Jesus even believes. He went on to say that he celebrates whatever path people take to God, saying, quote, and so the key is you believe in God. Whatever your path is to God, I celebrate that. Well, James has a little something to say about that. James says, you believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe. In 2017, Shannon Johnson Kirshner, who pastors the second largest PCUSA church in the United States, Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, she was asked in an interview, is Christianity the only way to heaven? Here's her response. No, God's not a Christian. I mean, we are. For me, the Christian tradition is the way to understand God and my relationship with the world and other humans. And it's not the way for me to move into that relationship, but I'm not about to say what God can and cannot do in other ways and with other spiritual experiences. For someone who professes to be a Christian, to be asked, is Jesus the only way to heaven, to point blank respond no, should be very alarming. Should be deeply troubling. But not only these four well-known influential individuals are cause for concern, because several years back, the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life did a major study on religious affiliation in the United States and beliefs and practices of those who profess to be Christians. And one of their findings was this. They said 70% of all Americans believe that many religions can lead to eternal life, including 65% of all identifying Christians. Perhaps the most surprising finding was that 56% of evangelical Christians believe there are many paths other than faith in Christ to God and eternal life. Writing an article for Gordon Conwell Seminary after this study came out, Dennis Hollinger said this. He said, many were so shocked by these numbers, the Pew study, that they went back and did further polling to make sure that by religion, respondents did not have in mind just other bodies or denominations of the Christian faith. But their earlier results were essentially confirmed. Among evangelical Christians, only 45% clearly affirm a personal belief in or relationship with Christ is essential for eternal life. You know, these quotes and these statistics should deeply trouble us. It should be alarming to consider that those who identify as evangelical Christians, at least according to this survey, less than half of them say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to have a relationship with God. You know, today we live in a country, we live in a time when tolerance is a buzzword. Everyone likes to speak about being tolerant. And of course, the problem with tolerance in 21st century America is that it's been redefined. See, tolerance, by definition, basically believes that you respect the right of everyone to believe what they want. But in 21st century America, tolerance has been redefined to mean that tolerance means believing that what everyone believes is right. And that's not true. In fact, it's not even possible. It's simply impossible for two people to believe things that are diametrically opposed to one another and both be right. It was R.C. Sproul who said, if you're a Christian, then by definition, you are a narrow-thinking person. Now, you may not have thought about it in those terms, and maybe even at first thought, you're like, I don't really want to be considered a narrow-thinking person. I don't want to be considered narrow-minded. That seems awfully unpleasant, awfully intolerant. Well, yeah, it is. But it's exactly what Jesus said. See, here's what narrow-minded means, according to the dictionary. Narrow-minded means a person with a limited outlook who is unwilling to consider alternative ideas, perspectives, or thoughts. Now, in many realms and many subject areas, we should be willing to consider other perspectives and thoughts, but not when it comes to the question of how do you get to heaven? How do you know God? And see, based on that definition, I would submit to you this morning that every person who professes to be a child of God, every person who proclaims to believe that this is God's word, must be a narrow-minded person on this question. Because Jesus himself said there is one way and only one way to heaven. And the world that we live in today says we have to be tolerant and inclusive in order to be relevant. And saying there's only one way to heaven is certainly not that. But consider this thought from John MacArthur. He says it's ironic that so many who are downplaying the exclusivity of Christ are doing it because they believe it's a barrier to relevance. Actually, Christianity is not relevant at all if it's merely one of many possible paths to God. The relevance of the gospel has always been its absolute exclusivity, summed up in the truth that Christ alone has atoned for sins, and therefore Christ alone can provide reconciliation with God for those who believe only in him. And I agree wholeheartedly with what Dr. MacArthur says there. If Christianity is one of just many ways to God, one of just many ways to heaven, then why would it be relevant? It would be no more relevant than any other alternative. Why would we do so much of what we as Christians do? Why would we, if we consider what we looked at last week, why would we support missions? If there's umpteen different ways to get to God, why pursue sharing our way with other people? If whatever path people find most pleasing, most comforting, most accommodating is going to lead them to heaven, Christianity would just be one more option on the buffet line of life, so to speak. What difference would it really make? But in John chapter 14, Jesus said it does make a difference. And this morning, over the next few minutes, I would like to show you both biblically and logically why there's only one way to heaven. Biblically is most important, so we'll start with that. In John chapter 14, verse 6, we see this stated by Jesus Christ in no uncertain terms. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You really can't be any more narrow-minded than that. There is no room for any alternative in that statement. Because you notice there that Jesus leaves no room for any other option. Beginning of this chapter, John chapter 14, Jesus is delivering a well-known promise that many who are in Christ put tremendous hope in. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," in verse 1. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Now you notice next, Thomas actually asks a question. He says, "We don't know where you're going, Lord. How can we know the way if we don't know where you're going?" And this is when Jesus responds. Thomas basically just said, "We don't know the way." Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." See, when Jesus is describing in the beginning of verse 14 his Father's house, he's describing what we commonly refer to as heaven. And he's saying he's going to prepare mansions. He's going to prepare many rooms for those who are going to follow him, for those who will enter through him. And you'll notice in verse 6 what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say, "I am a way. I am one way." He says, "I am the way." Not the preferred way, not the easiest way, not the quickest way. The way. And he does not say here that few people will come to the Father other than through him. He says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no footnote, there's no exception, there's no parenthesis or asterisk. There is no other way. No one will enter heaven except through Christ. Now, do we see this anywhere else in Scripture? Well, yes, we do, actually. I'm glad you asked that question. In Acts chapter 4, as you heard read in our call to worship this morning, in verse 12, we see that it says, this is the end of what was read for our call to worship, it says, "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Again, you'll notice there is no exception. There's no room for any other option. He says there is salvation in no one else. No other name given among heaven by which we must be saved. In 1 Timothy, if you turn forward several more books, Paul is writing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Paul says, "For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." One God, one mediator. No other go-between, no other door, no other option. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, turn forward several more pages in your New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Particularly the last part of that verse, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Now, we could look at others. There are other places in the scripture that teach us this idea that Jesus is the only way, but I think we have a clear picture here in these few that we've looked at, that there is no other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ himself said it. The writers of the New Testament said it. Not only, by the way, does the Bible teach clearly that Jesus is the only way, nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the maps, that's kind of a joke, right? Okay. All right, there we go. Making sure you're with me. All right, the maps are not inspired. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation, there's not one single verse that gives any indication that there's any other way to heaven. Not one. Not one. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking again. And in Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus is giving this instruction, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." What Jesus is saying here is that the wide gate includes all kinds of ways. You name it, it's there. It's one of the options. It includes all religions of works, all religions of self-righteousness, all religions of incredible political accomplishments, all religions of huge financial gifts, all religions that reject religion entirely. They're all there on the wide way. And that wide road, Jesus says, will have many. Its lanes are open, its options are open, and it leads to a single destination, hell. You see what it says there? The gate is wide, the way is easy. Is that not what we love as human beings, right? We want the easy way. We want the wide road. We want the one that's not going to be hard, the one that's not going to give us obstacles, the one that's not going to interfere with what we want to do. Jesus says, it's there. If that's the way you want to go, go ahead. It's there. It's wide. It's open. It's available to you. But be forewarned, this is where it will end. It leads to destruction. It leads to hell. Now, that's a very brief overview of why, biblically, we believe there's only one way to heaven. You can just summarize it succinctly in this. Jesus said so. We can't claim to believe the Bible is true and is the Word of God and say there is any other way to heaven. We would have to contradict the Bible if we were to take that position. But what about logically even? What if you were to be having this conversation with somebody who says, yeah, well, I obviously don't believe the Bible. That's why I don't think it's the only way to heaven. So what if just logically you wanted to try to explain to somebody why there can't be any other way to heaven? Now, first one I'm going to give you still draws on the Bible a little bit, but if you're still in Matthew, if you turn forward a few pages to Matthew 26, in Matthew 26 we see the night before his crucifixion, right? The night that Jesus is arrested, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying earnestly, and he says in verse 39 of Matthew 26, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What is Jesus saying? If we want to put this in a modern paraphrase, what Jesus is saying is, if there's any other way people can get to heaven, don't make me do this. Well, we know how the story ends. We know what happens moments after that prayer is prayed. And remember, by the way, Jesus said, if there's any other way, but then what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. And moments later, he's arrested. And then he again goes through the trials and the crucifixion, all that we've just talked about in recent weeks as we celebrated Good Friday and Easter. So just logically speaking, if there was any other possible way for anyone to come to relationship with God, would God have seen his son crucified? No. Of course not. Despite the fact that Jesus here in this moment of his humanity coming through saying, if there's any other way, I don't want to do this, God said, you have to. There is no other way. Secondly, though, if you consider the fact that the various religions of the world that there are completely incompatible with each other, it really makes no logical sense to suggest that they could all lead to heaven. Most of them actually contradict one another. Here's just a few examples. Islam teaches there is one God. They refer to him as Allah. And they also teach that those who do not convert to Islam should either be made slaves or should be executed. Hinduism teaches that there are hundreds of millions of gods. Confucianism teaches there is no God. And New Spirituality says you're God. How can they all be right? They can't. It makes no logical sense. Christianity teaches that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect, sinless life, that he died a death he did not deserve, and that he rose again on the third day. Islam teaches that Jesus was real, he was a prophet, he was even a miracle worker, but he was not the Son of God. Judaism teaches that Jesus existed, he was a respected teacher and even a miracle worker, but his power to perform miracles came from Satan. And when he died, he stayed dead. The gardener stole his body. Hinduism says Jesus did exist. He was a holy man. He was a teacher and a god. And he is a symbol of what humans can attain when they reach the height of self-actualization. And Buddhists say that Jesus lived a self-sacrificial life, but he was not divine. How could they possibly all be right? They can't. By the way, if you pay much attention to national news, you may have seen just 2 days ago that the Muslim American Society Islamic Center in Philadelphia posted a video. They posted the video themselves, right? This was not like surreptitiously obtained. They posted this video themselves of children in their center celebrating Ummah Day. Ummah is the Muslim idea that all Muslims around the world are united in their common heritage and tradition. And here's where the video said. It featured children wearing scarves and singing and reading poetry about killing for Allah. Part of that video contains a girl saying this: "We will defend the land of divine guidance with our bodies. We will sacrifice our souls without hesitation. We will chop off their heads. We will liberate the sorrowful and exalted Al-Aqsa Mosque. We will lead the army of Allah, fulfilling his promise, and we will subject them to eternal torture." How can anyone possibly say, well, that and the others, they all lead to heaven? No, they don't. They cannot coexist. And by the way, let me just insert here that the greater time and effort that is devoted to trying to identify the similarities between the world's various religions, the more damage we do to the fact that Christ is the only way. You understand what I'm saying there? The more we say, well, you know, Islam teaches this, and Hinduism teaches this, and Jehovah's Witnesses believe this, and Mormons believe this, and Christians believe this, and fill in the blank, and they all think you should do these good things, you're not helping the cause of Christ when you do that. You're actually encouraging people to think there are indeed valid other options when there are not. From that example alone of just this last Friday, we should see very clearly that the idea that all religions are equal and all lead to God is completely blown out of the water. Because while the Muslims are teaching convert or die, Christians are teaching love your neighbor as yourself. Thirdly, the idea makes no logical sense because it's not possible for both Jesus and not Jesus to be right. That's just common sense, right? We all understand that contradictory ideas cannot both be right. Consider just this thought from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. He said this, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That's the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us." Now, you may want to ponder that a little more, right? For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it again. As I said, it's in the book Mere Christianity. You can find it online as well, I'm sure. If you just want to Google it, you can find that quote. But our time is about up. 3 hours flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? But what we've seen here this morning, both biblically and logically, is there cannot be more than one way to heaven. Let me leave you with this thought from Randy Alcorn. He said this, "If we get it wrong about Jesus, it doesn't matter what we get right." That one's short enough, I'll repeat it. If we get it wrong about Jesus, it doesn't matter what we get right. May we never get it wrong about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have provided a way to know you, a way for our sins to be forgiven, a way for us to be made right in our relationship with you, and to have the hope of eternal life in your presence. And as we think about this morning, Lord, I'm very well aware that this is not a popular message. The world we live in would not be interested in embracing the fact there is only one way to heaven. Father, may we not ever concern ourselves with what the world would prefer when that's in contradiction to what you have said. May we always be willing to boldly proclaim the truth of your word, whether it's popular or not. We thank you for loving us enough to send your Son. We thank you for making a way, the way. Even that, Father, we don't deserve. Were we to get what we deserve, we would all be separated from you eternally and suffer the consequences of our rebellion against you. But because you loved us so much, you sent your Son to make a way for our sins to be forgiven. And for that, we thank you. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.